and welcome to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
Well, let me tell you about this here spaceship, see, because instead of them dilithium crystals, this one runs on propane. It's very, very efficient.
Hello. And your co-host, Hunter?
Have you ever been driving to work across space and gone, "Ah, shit, I forgot my coffee. Time to turn around and warp back."
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
Do you like gladiator movies?
Yes.
Hi, guys. We're a little silly tonight. We have two guests joining us.
I don't know what this is, but it's quality. What?
you get what you pay for, people. Joining us, we have two guests joining us from Boston. Is that correct?
Did I remember that?
Okay, awesome.
Boston, Cambridge.
Oh, Cambridge. Cambridge math, as the car talk guys say it.
You guys are the guys that went around in Boston and hit all those, like, LED Moonanite guys, right?
Oh, totally.
We
got in trouble for it, but we had a great hair press conference, so it was kind of worth it.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the Moonanite saga in Boston?
Was that
Aqua Teen?
Yeah, it was the Aqua Teen thing.
Yeah, if people thought it was a terrorist attack.
Totally. Sometimes. And it kind of was. It was people from the internet.
The best part was the press conference they had afterwards where they just talked about their hair.
It was 80s haircut styles, I believe. And they were like, they refused to field any questions off topic.
Oh, my God. Thank God that Kim Kardashian was not implicated, because then they'd have just talked about her butt the entire time. It'd have been... It's like Kim Kardashian changes hair color. It's like front page, and then like five pages back, it's like, oh, by the way, World War III started. You know?
Yeah, I don't know if you guys watch John Oliver, but this past week it was an amazing thing. They were talking to us. They showed a clip where they were talking to a senator about this part of the Patriot Act that's about to be renewed. You know? It's very important stuff. And then all of a sudden, sorry, Senator. It's a senator they're talking to.
Breaking news.
Sorry, Senator. We have to cut away because Justin Bieber has just been arrested or something like that. Like, seriously, they cut off a senator talking about.
I saw that. It was the same clip where they interviewed Snowden, right?
Yeah, Edward Snowden. Yeah, exactly. News is entertainment and entertainment is news. I get more news out of The Daily Show, John Oliver, and now – The Nightly Show.
That's the problem, right? Because we actually get more solid news from comedians.
So people can't stand for that stuff.
We do get more solid news from Canadians. I mean,
comedians like us. Oh, we bring the space news.
I'm just saying.
Meanwhile, in Canada,
Canadian broadcast. The CBC is doing an excellent. Have you guys ever watched The National on CBC with Peter Mansbridge? It's a national treasure up there. And it's an amazing show. Anyway, where are we going? I don't know. We have two guests who you've heard talking. Joining us from Boston, like I said, members of MOB, M-O-B, MOB, not MOD, like the show, but MOB, Made Games, Chris Sheldon Dante and Andrew Richardson. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey,
how's it going?
And you guys are in the same room. We're not used to that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's the two of us and a life-size cutout of Lieutenant Commander Worf.
Yeah.
What?
Wait a second. You can put more than one person in a room?
Well, dude, I drove all the way out here to hang out with Chris and you guys.
What is all the way out here? Is that like a trek? Is Cambridge?
Well, it's like a 20-minute drive, I guess.
Oh, well, you know, in Boston, that can be really long.
Yeah, I mean, he could have died. Probably he had multiple near-death encounters on the way here.
Yeah, so. It was really just 2 miles, but I don't know. Something about the way the streets go, it took 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard about Boston. A lot of people give us crap about L.A. traffic, but apparently Boston is even worse than L.A.
Oh, yeah.
The roads are pretty fantastic. If you're ever looking for, you know, a new wonder of the world, that they could be engineered this poorly is really miraculous.
What I've heard is that it actually makes sense sort of superimposed into five dimensions.
I'll tell you what, though. Have you ever been to Chicago? Don't go to Chicago. Yeah. I took a taxi cab like 3 blocks. I was an atheist when I got in the cab. I was devout when I got out.
That rhymes. So we're here to talk about your game, Voidborn.
Voidborn.
And this is kind of a fascinating concept in strategy games. Why don't you throw like the pitch at us for people who don't know what this is?
Here's the windup.
Yeah. So all right. So here's the pitch. A couple years ago, over Thanksgiving, I was playing Civilization with some relatives of mine, and we were like, well, you know, we'd really like to play Civilization, but you know, it's 2 p.m, so we better start tomorrow. So we can get a full game in. And so we thought, is it possible to make a 4X strategy game that you can play in like an hour and still be like deep and complex?
Yeah. So one of the things people enjoy in Civ, right, is the crazy, wacky stories that develop over 10 hours.
Right.
So, you know, Gandhi teaming up with George Washington to fight Cleopatra or whatever. So we decided that, you know, is there any way we could preserve that with a fast game? And what we came up with was sort of a Risk Legacy sort of style play where each match takes place on the same map. So the colonies you found, civilizations you build up persist from match to match.
Oh.
And, and so what sort of bleeds over, though, are the remnants of your previous civilizations. So each match is about building up a civilization and causing it to go out of power in some spectacular, fantastic way, be it creating a malicious AI that starts wiping you out, expanding too far and schisming due to political stress, or creating a virtual paradise and retiring from the actual universe.
So here's a story that we're working on putting into the game. The idea is that you start playing, and you expand really quickly and take over a lot of space, and you get a lot of points because you've expanded a whole lot, but then that triggers sort of the end of the game. And before the next game, that empire is broken up into several fractured pieces, and then they become the warring states that fight amongst themselves. And, you know, they can sort of, they have some of the resources of their previous empire, but not all of it.
Yeah. So diplomatics, it sets up a sort of fun diplomatic landscape for your next play.
Yeah. And pursuant to that, we've had to sort of make a lot of design choices. Yeah.
This actually makes me want to play Risk Legacy. I've never played Risk Legacy. And apparently there's an excellent computer version of it, so I'm going to look that up. That's what I've heard.
We're inspired by board games sort of throughout the development, so a lot of that went into it.
See, it's weird. I'm not a big fan of board games, but if I can play a board game on a computer, I'm there.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. So I read the example you had on your website where you play a civilization and then they get to a point where they all jump into a virtual reality simulation. And that ends that round. What can end a round and move on to the next round? What are the things that can push one round to another?
Sure. Yeah, so the way it's set up right now, we're still sort of early development, as you can see in your build.
Sure. Because we got Abraham Lincoln in here for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Lincoln and Booth, I think.
I know, which is, I got to say, really funny.
It was really hard to get the two of them to work together again. But
I feel that Abraham Lincoln must stay.
Yeah. We've
Yes.
I was going to say, we've toyed around with the idea of maybe like Cyberham Lincoln and Tron Wilkes Booth. You know,
have you ever listened to the Abraham Lincoln Show?
No.
It's a defunct podcast. They don't make it anymore, but it ran for like 2 seasons way back. And if you just like go iTunes or wherever podcasts are sold, and look for the Abraham Lincoln Show, it's a buddy of mine from Maine that made the thing, and it was him and his friends. It's like a radio drama. But it's we had this podcast I used to do where we did bad movies, right? And we did the Doctor Who movie from 1996, and he came on the show.
Terrible.
He came on the show in character as John Wilkes Booth, and he had stolen the TARDIS to escape and came into the future, and then was on our show. So it's amazing. It is truly amazing. Oh, and what's Lincoln's wife's name? Something Rose Lincoln. Mary Rose Lincoln, I think. Anyway, she's a werewolf. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. All right, so basically we have, folks, we have a very early build here, very, very early, like pre-alpha type of thing, where there's the basic kernel of a game going here. So basically it looks like what you can do is you can fly your ships around planets to different systems. You can build things that give you bonuses like a military outpost or a mega city, a mine, which gives you more production, I think, and then a laboratory, which gives you science. So you have military, population, production, and science. Is that correct? Am I remembering that right?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, and each system can build one of these things because they're pretty massive.
So actually each planet can build one of those things.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, which sort of allows for different species to cohabit the same solar system.
If you actually, if you build something right now, so you get it up, if you, for example, just build a mine, you can then right-click on the orbit where the mine is made. So for, I think you have to choose one of those cards at the bottom first.
Or an escape.
Right, yeah. So now if you click, you can drag the surface of the planet around to sort of rotate it.
Okay.
And actually visit individual locations on there. So we've set up a lot of basically the basic structure and some of the UI elements. A lot of them are still in flux, but we've got the design of a good fix on that. I guess one thing that you don't really see with bigger studios or people that know how to make money better, we spent about 9 months literally just hashing out the design of really like on the board, arguing, prototyping. This thing has gone through probably more iterations than most games. We sort of settled on design and we're just sort of in the process of implementing it now. So.
Right. And I dig it. And so you could set up a different type of city on each planet, and these give you bonuses to, you know, matter and xenobiology and commerce and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, let's see. So each planet has, and each planet looks like it has different bonuses on their, on themselves. And there are different types of planets, it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. So, if you left click on a planet or on the double click on the side.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. So yeah, there's gotta be a little delay on Twitch. But we have the sun, and then we have two planets, new Earth and an asteroid belt. So we can go around these different systems and build all this stuff. And so it's pretty cool. And then you know, it doesn't even look like I have to do much. I can just right click this fleet here and it just attacks them automatically. I love that I love that animation, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah, it's all actually in scene. We're just sort of scaling the elements of the scene and zooming the camera in. So nothing's cut scenes. It's all just sort of right in there.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, it's all in-game graphics?
Yeah, this is all in-game. Nothing's recorded. I mean, obviously a lot of...
if the graphics actually came out of the game and chased me around the room or something, wow.
Yeah.
With Oculus, well, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's planned in one of their like new firmware updates or something.
Yeah.
Augmented reality.
Yeah, one of the things we tried was having the camera sort of zoom into the action, but we found that we liked the direct cut a little bit better.
I like that better too, I gotta say. Now there's really no enemy AI right now. They just kind of sit there.
They will attack you. Because this is a demo, we've sort of souped up the player ships, so you will almost always instantly destroy things and suffer very little damage.
Because it is a demo is also kind of a generous way of saying that the death mechanic right now may cause some critical game-breaking errors all over the place. So.
Yeah. We mentioned that this is a very early pre-alpha.
Yeah, I don't think you mentioned that yet.
No.
No, this is very, very pre-early alpha.
Yeah, I apologize for that. The reason is you're talking to approximately the entire development team.
Yeah, we do have some, we obviously have to mention, we have some contractors who are helping us with the art, who we just sort of started working with to add ships and some 2D art as well. So that will be built out over the coming months.
Oh, no.
Don't worry about it. If you tab between ships, it should recenter, or just move. That works.
Now it looked like the scout here doesn't have all the same options that the battleship does. Let's see.
Yeah, that's true.
So it looks like you have the scout, which can, it looks like you can probably see a little further, but then you have the battleship that could do a little more stuff.
Yeah, actually, the it's not really exposed right now to the through the interface in the game, but one of the things you can do when you visit colonies is there's an upgrade screen where you can change the loadout of your ships.
Oh.
So the main way that we sort of emphasize technological progression is you unlock, the research stations allow you to unlock upgrades like cloaking devices or shields or jump drives.
Oh.
And then you can totally customize the outfitting of your ship. And actually all of the actions and stats right now on the ships are derived from an inventory system. There's just no way to access it in game. So that's what I was trying to get to you before, before today, but we didn't quite get there.
That's okay.
So
that's, I mean, what are you going to do?
Can I ask real quick, one thing I've noticed that when I've played, and I'm seeing it now too with Brian's playthrough, is the picture icons for the ships are vastly unique. Where did you guys come up with that?
So those are some pictures we got off of Wikipedia. We've got an artist, character artist sort of drawing some aliens and some futuristic humans, but yeah, right now those are just some open public domain images.
Yeah, we actually have a lot of systems in there that are not entirely exposed, but that are developed slightly haphazard development strategy. So we have, for example, we had a team system where we had the entire set of civil rights activists as playable captains.
Yeah, I think right now you're playing the queen.
Well, it's kind of it's kind of like you could sneak some history education in, like, you know, kids think they're playing a game, but you're learning about civil rights. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm curious about your guys' opinion about this. So we figured that one thing people like in games and in general is like seeing people's faces. So I really feel strongly that people prefer like looking at pictures of the captains of each ship. But Chris thinks it'd be better if we had images of, like, the ships and sort of, like, schematics of them.
Yeah. So if you click on, like, the shipyard up at the top, it'll show you a sort of holographic view of the ship, which we can do with any ship model. Right. That's sort of what I was thinking is as a way to differentiate them. what would you guys, what's your take on that?
Can you offer the option to do both to the user?
We could do a toggle.
Yeah, do like a toggle in the options menu?
Maybe. That would probably require a lot more art, though, so we probably won't. we're being honest.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking the faces.
Yeah.
I'm looking at that spin and space station, and I'm just thinking, like, that looks like the bleachers at a Hurricanes game, like all the people taking pictures. Or maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's like a tourist thing.
That's because we haven't set HDR properly. but also it's just because there's like a constant party going on in that space station.
That's what I'm thinking. Like you need some, you know, and that solves the music problem too.
Yeah, we actually have a system for different music for different areas. So we totally could have some sweet techno blast in when you visit your station.
Yeah,
totally.
Because, you know, it's the future. I like to imagine that pretty much everyone in the future is, like, partying constantly because they have machines to do all their work for them.
Exactly. It's the Star Trek economy. It's like nobody has anything to do but go out and explore or whatever. I don't know. I'm thinking Star Trek needed a lot more hippies or something. They did have that one episode with the hippies, but that didn't turn out well. It's like,
there's probably planets filled with billions of hippies, and they just don't interact with the Enterprise very much because they aren't like serious enough for Captain Picard to give them the time of day.
Well, they're not motivated, right? Because you can't even beam up off the couch. It's like, you ready to beam up? I guess so.
I mean, or why go anywhere if you've got the holodecks, right? Just sort of sit there and let them do all the work.
But that was Barclay's problem, though, right?
Holo addiction. It's a serious thing. Don't make fun of it.
So right now, all these holo addiction.
Yeah, they talked about it with Barclay.
Oh, okay. Because man, if I had a holodeck, I would totally. Well, there'd be porn and I'd die of dehydration. But, you know, whatever.
Well, I don't know. In the 24th century, you're living on a spaceship. You have medicine that prevents STDs. So you don't need to worry about that sort of thing. So according to Riker, it looks like based on Riker, you can have casual sex with just about anybody.
Even a chair.
Well, my headcanon about Star Trek is that the ship is run by a powerful AI, which does everything. And all the crew members are really just in a sort of simulation where
they're important.
Yeah, perhaps, where the computer tells them they're important.
What
and
if
they
it's
get
like the Matrix and they're really there just to provide power? And they're not even really on the ship. They're just in tanks, and they're all holodecked. Yeah, you're in the Matrix, Trek.
Yeah.
Neo.
Wow, this is some kind of weird like sci-fi Inception going on.
I don't know what
this
is, man, but this shit's quality.
Honestly, I like the faces. I don't know. It adds a little bit of personality, I think.
Okay, yeah, votes for faces.
Yeah,
I'm thinking you just put like a green filter on them or something. Or like some of the blue.
Yeah, like the queen could sort of be an alien queen.
Yeah, well, yeah, no, just have like Queen Elizabeth, but paint her green, like she's an Orion queen, and totally, and it jives with Star Trek, right? Because that's all they did was paint people green, maybe put like a funny thing on their nose.
Yeah,
totes.
Yeah, like you know, I could go in there, sort of touch up her picture and paint, get her a big forehead.
Make her an Orion girl.
Yeah. Well, we're redoing the inventory, so we can't get a. But we're working on is being able to sort of expose the crew and be able to set your crew members. Actually, what happens if you go ahead and press I?
We take that out.
I?
I used to be a hotkey for opening an MS Paint inventory system that was functional, but sporadically popped on screen and hovered over your ship.
Okay, well, we took that out. All right.
Apparently it did, because it's not doing nothing.
I would have one key in the game that's labeled hotkey, and when you hit it, it goes, so hot. And that's it.
What? Okay.
Andrew, are you actually writing that down?
Yeah. It's good. It's a good idea.
You don't need that.
Something happens, dude.
All right, hotkey's going in there, I guess. It's on the list, so.
You know what else you guys need to add that they don't put in games anymore? A boss mode? Remember the boss mode? So you hit, Control B and a DOS prompt comes up.
Or better yet, it turns
Excel.
Into an Excel spreadsheet. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I can play this at work and suddenly.
Somebody inverted that shit, and they in Excel, they put a flight simulator. So it was like the opposite. Do you remember that? Like, if you type the right thing into a cell, then it just popped into a cheap ass flight simulator.
What?
Yeah, that was back in, like, Word 95 or something.
What? That's great.
Yeah, I remember that. It's like a very low quality flight simulator.
May have bloated the software a little bit, but totally worth it.
Totally worth it, yeah.
So this game, you have a certain, like, is there a certain set amount of turns between one match and another, or just. You get to a certain trigger, and that's what triggers the end of the match.
Actually, can we talk about the controls for a little while?
Of course.
So one thing we really wanted to do with this game is, you might notice, it's completely three-dimensional.
Yeah,
it's actually an infinite map, too, so you can go as far as you want in any direction, and it will stream in new content.
Well, our level of detail is a little off, so that may start slowing down after a while right now. But
yeah, after a long while, probably.
Yeah, it takes a bit.
Yeah. But so one thing that really bothers me is that a lot of space games are completely two dimensional. And space is 3D, and that's really cool. But as we discovered, there's a lot of good reasons to have 2D space games that we've sort of had to overcome.
Yeah. Our whole design process, as I may have mentioned earlier, we spent like 9 months just like coming in, throwing up like, oh, let's make it grid-based, let's make it point-of-interest-based, let's make it, you know, continuous movement-based, and then arguing it out for, you know, weeks on end for every single point. And sort of the benefit of that was that we got to look at things that we thought, you know, could be improved maybe in existing elements of, or in existing entries in the genre, like the faster matches and that whole persistence mechanic of being able to build a long story. So one thing is, you know, we really want to support, really fast play. And you know, games like Civilization, one thing you'll notice is as you build out your empire, you have more and more colonies and more ships to control.
Right.
And so what that means is that at the beginning of the game, you have not a lot of actions to do per turn. So there's a lot of time spent waiting. And at the end of the game, you have many, many things to do per turn. So the turns get longer and longer, and the game ends up taking 10 hours. So our solution to that, we sort of looked at board games. Like, you know, if you look at like chess or Go or Stratego, it doesn't matter how many pieces you have. You still have the same number of moves per turn. You can move one piece. our idea was to sort of adopt a interface that was more limited by the player's way of interacting. And so to support that, we looked at like XCOM. I'm sure you guys are quite familiar with. The tactical turn-based interface. So you control your flagships. They each have a set number of action points per turn, although that can change with gear. And once you exhaust that, it moves on to the next player. And the advantage is it keeps play really fast, because at the beginning of the game, you have about the same number of actions as you do at the end of the game. So each turn, relatively constant length from start to end.
And so basically all the colonies are sort of build and not forget about them, but they sort of run themselves.
They do a lot of tactical bonuses. So like the military one, it's not just a passive bonus. It actually will intercept any enemy ships that fly within a certain range of it. So we're still working on the displays for that. So I think it's probably just going to be a red colored senso bubble, sort of like what you have right now. But you'll be able to zoom out and see different areas and regions of control. The mines net you that income, the resource colonies unlock new upgrades for your ships and new equipment. And then it's all about expanding through space, exploring, and eventually leading to those sort of pre-authored end conditions. And we actually have a system for just adding to that. So we plan to continue building that out even after release with sort of new exciting ways to end play.
That's cool. Cause I love that. I love that idea. Cause like you might have I'm thinking you might have a military coup and like you have one faction becomes two and that's your next game and you're one of those factions.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And it could be something like a military coup, but the another fun part of it is because there's so many different ways to sort of go out of play. It gives the sort of players a lot of choice in terms of how the world develops, you know? If you do that heavy research robotics route, you may create that AI that everyone has to deal with. That's, you know, kind of going and assimilating worlds like, the Borg or, you know, the replicators in Stargate.
Oh, very nice. And all these universes are procedurally generated.
Yeah. So this is all totally procedural. Right now, we haven't started as much with building out the content because we've been working on the tech. So the big thing is right now we mostly have stars, but you can totally expect black holes, little wormholes that connect areas. We actually took out one thing we had previously because it wasn't quite the way we wanted it to work, but we are adding volumetric nebulas. So you'll actually be able to hide your ships in those and give some tactical cover.
Very nice.
And the combat right now is one hit kill, but the plan is to go in the XCOM direction and have an intercept action, so you can sort of set your ships up to respond during the enemy's turn.
Oh, very awesome. Yeah. Now, I wanted to ask about these buttons down at the bottom here. Right now I've got a scout, and I obviously know what the move, attack, and build buttons do. I've been playing with them, but what does explore and heal do? What do they do?
Sure. So explore is the action that you use to investigate the current system. It sort of takes you into orbit and lets you go to that management, that managing the different locations view. The plan is that the actions right now disappear, but we're probably going to actually carry those in so that there are certain surface actions like bombard or, you know, that's where you would actually build new colonies.
You click the buttons, if you right click, the mouse cursor changes to be sensitive. So if you mouse over your current ship, it'll change to
heal.
And right click, and it'll change to heal.
Yeah. It's a context sensitive thing, so that most of the time you can right click, but if you have multiple actions you could do towards a single target, then you can just select it in that menu and lock it in. So, for example, the heal button will probably be sort of send out repair drones to repair allied ships or repair yourself. And that'll add some new tactical elements as well.
And Explorer is an interesting one. I'm curious to get your guys' opinion on this. So Explorer is what you use to sort of beam down to a planet's surface and check it out. So if you right-click on a planet's orbit, you will explore it. So if you zoom in a little bit and then right-click on one of the orbits.
Yeah, I think they did that a little bit earlier. But.
And so that sort of allows you to see what's on the planet's surface and read about it and, you know, investigate it as a potential place to build or, you know, talk to people on the planet's surface.
Can you just bomb them from orbit? Because that's really what I'm about.
Yeah, that's definitely a planned feature. So right now, the only action that works, and it uses a separate menu, which is kind of weird, so we're going to change that, is you can the colonization can happen when you go into that Explore view. But we're totally planning on adding a bombard button just as soon as we have the bandwidth.
Oh, that's exciting. Yeah. I do love orbital bombardment.
Yeah. The build actually, that was broken in the build we sent you, but that's fixed now. It makes them a little big right now in this version.
But what I'm curious about is right now exploring takes up an action point. So every time you move or attack, it costs an action point to your ship. And right now exploring also costs an action point.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel about that?
Makes sense to me. It's an action.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of just like an information gathering action.
But it's still an action. You're sending down an away team. That's time spent.
Yeah. Cool. That's sort of how I look at it, but from a game design perspective, it might bother people that it costs action points to do that. But at the same time, we sort of hope it'll make the game a little bit faster. Maybe discourage people from exploring constantly.
Yeah. Right. Now I noticed this particular build has three different factions. You got you guys, you have the red guys, who I guess are the enemy, and the blue guys. Now, are there going to be like multiple factions, like you're allied with the blue guys and the red guys are pirates and maybe there are some space monsters? Like, what's going to be out there?
Yeah, so right now you're constantly at war with everyone.
Okay.
We have not developed the diplomacy system, but it's pretty much all entirely discussion-based, so...
Yeah, so the plan will be that you have, it'll be procedural factions, and some of them will develop throughout play from your previous empires. Some of them you'll just encounter as you explore space. So there will be aliens, there will be AI spinoffs, there will be offshoots of previous civilizations, all of those things. And the alliances should make sense, the diplomacy should make sense in the final game. The way we're planning on doing that is instead of having a dedicated diplomacy screen, we'll present you with diplomatic missions, kind of like in Star Trek. So you'll get a little pop-up that says, you know, the research base of, you know, so-and-so's empire has had, like, a lab accident, and they need someone to send a rescue mission. And if you do that, that'll improve your diplomacy, that'll improve your relationship with them. And if you decide not to do that, it'll slightly erode that relationship. And if you get your relationship negative enough, you'll instead get missions like, go ahead and sabotage their base and steal their technology instead of saving their scientists.
I like it.
Or another good example is if one of your ships is destroyed but it's able to send out lifeboats, then another civilization will get a mission to go and recover the lifeboats. But if you have a really negative relationship with them, instead they'll get a mission to go and blow up your lifeboats. And so you either get into like a negative death spiral of hate and warfare, or to like a positive, happy relationship where you both just do each other favors.
Yeah, and the plan is to also incorporate that with the victory conditions, so like or the end game conditions. So for example, you could get in that positive spiral and eventually forge a Federation style alliance, and that would bring about the end of one age because you know it's a major change in the powers that are playing in that era of the empire, of the universe.
Yeah, and so that's one way that we're working on procedurally generating missions is based on your relations with the civilizations around you.
Nice. Why can I hear myself?
I can try muting it on my end if that helps on the mic. Let me see.
That's, yeah.
You know what you could do? You could tap the Twitter API. and just randomly grab a tweet, and that could be like a transmission from the planet. And then based on the tweet, you decide whether you're going to bomb them or not. Because there's a lot of people I'd like to bomb. And
a lot of good content that way?
Huh?
Do you think we'd get a lot of good content that way, using random tweets?
Oh, you get a lot of interesting comment.
Yeah,
content
you get some
way.
Really strange shit. That's for sure. You would definitely hear about Kim Kardashian at least once a game. In fact, I would put an alien race in called the Kardashians, and they would be like aliens with really.
Specifically, like,
is it the Cardassians or the Kardashians? Oh. See,
well, depends.
Do you know of any games that use social media for content?
None.
Yeah. So that's a niche market right there. That sounds like great. You know,
totally. I mean, you could just grab some random crap. Although, our buddy Klifsky wrote that. What did he make it? No, he published it, wasn't it? The red shirt thing. He didn't write it, right? So he put red shirt is like the only game that I know of that has social media in it, but it simulates it.
Oh.
So
it's like if the Enterprise had a Facebook and a Facebook on board, basically.
Yeah, it's hilarious because it's true. That's why.
I do like this little touch where, like, if you move the map around, the ship kind of changes the direction of where you're moving, of which way you're moving there.
Yeah. Some people said they found that a little bit confusing because they're not able to use the ship as an anchor, but it's. That's sort of to
emphasize the selected ship. Yeah, we still have to put some transition animations in there. So right now it just sort of flips back and forth based on which direction you're going.
I like that.
I think what we're going to have it at least have like a little thruster that causes it to sort of spin when you... instead of just instantly snapping back and forth, we'll do a little animation there just to keep it more fluid.
But, yeah. I'm sure you guys are familiar with Homeworld. This is sort of similar controls.
It's 3D,
like focused on the same ship. Actually, in a lot of the early builds, we had sort of panning based controls where you could focus the camera anywhere.
We had some wild controls early on.
Oh, we did, yeah. But we ended up sort of just only being able to rotate around your current ship to keep things focused.
Yeah.
What do you think?
No, I like the way it is now. I kind of like how it's kind of focused on the systems rather than the ships.
Yeah.
And because that's, I mean, your ships are what gets you from system to system, but the systems, those are your choke points, you know, that's how you generate resources and get anything done. So yeah, it makes sense to me.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
And, the bubble sort of around your ship represents like short range sensors.
Yeah. That totally makes sense. Yeah.
If you zoom out a little, occasionally, I think you may have killed the enemy ships, but in theory, there's also a long-range sensor which picks up little blips for enemies at the moment.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of systems that are sort of in there that are in need of a little polish, but we'll be able to convey a lot of information to the player that way in the final build.
I think you hunted down and killed all of your enemies.
Sorry, go on.
No, I think I did. And because the tutorial said at one point, yeah, you're done. Yeah, like I can't help you anymore.
It's the tutorial system though is pretty similar to basically how we the underlying system is what we'll use for missions, where you have indicators for various places to go or objectives. So we plan on adding, you know, things like defend this for some number of turns or. I know everyone loves escort missions. They're like super popular, right? So
yeah, everyone the escort missions are the best.
Yeah, they're just people's favorite. So
I just wish there was a game that's all it was escort missions. If I had time, I would make a free space campaign in Fred 2 that was just escort mission after escort mission.
The struggle is real.
Yeah. It's so great.
I hate to say this, but you might actually want to quit the game, press Q, and restart it to spawn more enemies.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. Now we got a blank screen. Oh god, gotta load again.
Dead air.
Okay.
It shouldn't take too long to load again.
So. No, it won't take too long.
Yeah.
It won't take too long. Come on, buddy. Oh wait, it's minimized. Come on. What are you doing? Oh, there it goes. Okay.
It's going to load all those art assets.
Yeah, all those, the sweet many art assets that we have.
Now, so that mission thing you were talking about, that's what these planets with the
weird chevron,
the exclamation point is, that's what that's going to be.
Yeah, exactly. What we were going for is a sort of FTL style mission system where some systems are mission critical, and when you go to them, you get some dialogue. And
we'll also use that to sort of give you special things for a mission. Like, as I said, the ships are equipable, so you might get like a cloaking drive and then a mission to sneak into some location. So we'll really use that to add sort of variety and a little bit of storytelling in there as well.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice. And those will all be randomly generated as well.
Yeah. We'll have a mix. A lot of it will be sort of authored content, but it'll randomly fit the current situation in the universe. So it'll pick factions and pick a lot of the details out procedurally.
Yeah, so it's authored content that it tries to match to your situation.
Very nice. Let's see, what am I? Oh, we got two different factions in one system here.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, right now there's a lot of things that don't have limits. Like, in theory, we can just keep adding both human and AI players. Hot Seat is technically in there. I think we've tried it out and it seems to work.
Oh, this would be great for Hot Seat.
Yeah, we definitely want to bring in the multiplayer element once we've got sort of the basic elements in there and start building out that content. The next step is really to work on multiplayer functionality. Hot Seat's in there sort of by default, just the way we have it set up, but we'd like to do some online stuff as well, just so you can connect to a session remotely.
Yeah, this because of the quick playing nature of this game, I could totally see it. Playing pretty well for a session, like 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Oh, that's all I have time for today.
Exactly. Yeah. We were sort of thinking, you know, we tried actually playing, for research, we tried playing a lot of games. Tried playing Civ, and every time we try and do that, we end up, getting a little way into it before something happens with the network connection, and we realize we're now playing single player games, and it hasn't even told us, so.
The only way I've ever played Civ is through play by email.
Yeah, I've actually heard about that. I really want to try that. It sounds like a good way to do it because it's so it's such a slow paced game.
Yeah, it really works. It's called Giant Multiplayer Robot or something like that, and that's for Civ 5 at least, and it works really well. I could see play by email working well for this too.
I feel like Hot Seat's sort of fallen out of favor. I used to play a lot of Risk and Heroes.
Oh, yeah. Heroes was another inspiration. But, yeah, Risk. I loved – do you guys ever play Risk 2? I think, like, Microprose in the 90s did it.
Yeah. You know, that's the one I hear is the best computer version to get.
Yeah, I love that. I honestly probably have bought, like, 10 copies of that game over the years and lost all but maybe one in my – hopefully –
It's held up very well because it's essentially a board game. It's very abstract.
Yeah, some games just hold up really well over the years, and strategy games are definitely one of them. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That game was simultaneous turns.
We discussed simultaneous turns actually when we were making this. There's not a decision in here that was just made arbitrarily. So we discussed simultaneous turns because they've got a lot of advantages for example, for fast online play, if both players can submit their orders and then there's not as much waiting for the other player, right?
Right.
So we definitely discussed that as a possibility, but the downside is you don't get that instant feedback of seeing your ship attack when you tell it to. And also just from a development timeline thing, it takes longer because you have to sort of figure out all the different interactions of different actions and set up for each of those uniquely.
Have you guys talked about like the max amount of players you're going to have for this?
For multiplayer, I guess it would really sort of depend on the mode. I feel like we haven't put a hard number on that. I think that's something we'll definitely test in sort of beta and when we're letting more people actually try the finished product. But I'm sort of the opinion that we probably want to keep it a low number, so there's not a lot of waiting for other players to complete their turns.
Probably
like four.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah, although something interesting that we've done is, as part of the decline mechanic, we have sort of a lot of smaller races, smaller factions, and also some larger factions that are just not competing for points. Because this is a points-based game, you can see the points total you have right now in the upper left-hand corner.
Right.
And that's, this is, it's really sort of like, I play a lot of board games like Settlers of Catan or Dominion that are, and I think victory points are one thing that, mostly it's in there to encourage non-aggressive strategies so that you can get points for, you know, pursuing science or diplomacy or building wonders.
Yeah, so you've seen the kill shots, which are sort of an homage to XCOM with the where it zooms in with the camera when you take a gunshot.
Right.
What we're planning on actually that whole system, we have a whole system developed for adding those. It's relatively surprisingly easy to do actually. We're planning on adding them for things like colonization too. So when you take that colonize action, it'll show your ship launching some pods down to the surface, or show your exploration vessel launching a probe out. So you'll get some nice sort of cinematic feedback to the different actions that you take as you explore.
Oh, there it is.
What do you guys think of Pink Suns?
You know, it makes sense to me. Why not?
Universal. I don't judge based on color. You know.
Yeah, I don't see color. I don't see color. People tell me I'm white, and I believe them. Sorry. Stealing a Stephen Colbert-ism.
Someone in the chat mentioned the Foundation series, and I would say that's one of my favorite books.
God, it's been so it's long like since I've read
it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was a teenager when I read those. Yeah. That's how long it's been for me.
Yeah. I really feel like the 4X genre is about the rise and fall of empires, and not enough games in the genre have like the fall of empires as you know something that you
that's
enjoy
very
experiencing.
True.
Yeah,
that's very true. That's I think it's one of the reasons Empire of the Fading Suns is still such an amazing game. Even oh my god, it's almost 20 years after it came out, isn't it?
Have you guys read the book The Moat in God's Eye?
I have heard that book is extremely good.
Yeah, given the theme of your game, it is something you should read. Because it is specifically about it's about a race that has their civilization rises and falls very rapidly because they reproduce very fast and they can't leave their planet. So it's they're in a cycle of like Armageddon every 200 years or so.
Oh, jeez.
And yeah, and it's like they bomb themselves back to the Stone Age and then they're back to the Space Age within 200 years and do it again. So
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah,
and that reminds me of have you guys ever read A Deepness Within the Sky?
No.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's the same. What's the author's name? I'm blanking on it. But they have no faster than light travel in that book, basically. And so the cool part about it is the only empire that exists basically is just a culture that broadcasts their message throughout space. And individual societies on planets, like, will rise to power and stay stable for some thousands of years before they eventually have some catastrophic downfall. So it's about these ships that sort of move from system to system and travel between these unstable local governments that sometimes are in these great high points and sometimes are bombed back to the feudal era.
That sounds pretty fascinating. What's it called again?
It's called A Deepness Within the Sky. It's by the same. I think the more famous book is A Fire Upon the Deep. Let me see if I can find the name of that.
I'm looking on the Kindle store right now.
Werner Vinge. That's who did it.
Awesome. I'm all about finding new books to read.
Yeah. Chris read that book sort of at the beginning of our work on this game. And we thought, you know, can we do a space game with realistic, because Chris is like a physics major, really into hard science. So we thought, could we do a space game that has no faster than light travel?
We decided that we could, but we, for this one, I think we're not going to, at least not as the only game mode. If we do it, it'll be sort of a specialized campaign.
If you do it in real time, then you only need to really make the first level.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, just come back. It's you got about 2,000 years before you hit another civilization. So
yeah,
there was actually a game we had on the show that was it Slower Than Light, Jim? Remember that?
I think that was the name of it because we had the Mac build and we also had the
Oh, cool.
Or no, like that was a different one.
That was a different one. What was that book again? I'm sorry.
Was it kind of like game or?
No, it was Crusader Kingsy, if I recall.
Oh. Hmm.
Yeah, a couple folks are actually making Crusader Kings in space, which is exciting.
Well, that's awesome.
I know.
Yeah, it was Slower Than Light, and it's slowerthanlightgame.com is his site. And he just updated April 15th of 2014. It's been a long time.
Oh, shit. What was the name of that book again? I cannot find it on the Kindle store.
Sorry, it was A Deepness in the Sky, I believe.
It might not be on Kindle.
You could probably get the original, which is A Fire Upon the Deep, which was, that one's usually on like the top 100 lists for sci-fi.
You mean I'd have to buy a real book?
Oh, wait, no, there's actually a series. I found it. It's a series.
Yeah. I think it's the one I'm recommending is the second in the series. They're all good, and the first one, the two I've read so far are good. I liked the second one because it had a little bit more of that hard sci-fi slant that I go for.
I'm definitely sending myself a sample of the first book. I always start a series in the first book, no matter what.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Hey, so Brian, what pictures did you get this time when you started up this new game?
Oh, it looks like Maya Angelou.
Uh-huh.
And
a pirate.
And it looks like either a pirate or a conquistador.
No, I think she's a famous pirate.
Oh, okay.
And something.
It looks like Maya Angelou or someone like Maya Angelou.
Yeah.
And a pirate. Yeah. So yep, the battleship is a pirate. Yes. Yeah, the battleship is a pirate. And the battleship is a pirate, and the scout is apparently Maya Angelou. So, sure. Yeah. Why not?
And you started with a lot less resources this time. Wow, that's pretty unbalanced.
Oh, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Balance it. That's what I'm going to do.
It's tough break.
Yeah.
Exactly. Destroyed three of John. I love the... I love the Lincoln. I love the Lincoln.
I would keep him. I would give him a mohawk, like a green space mohawk.
Cameron in the chat asks if you guys have heard of House of Suns by Alistair Reynolds,
which I have not. Nope,
I have not. I have not. I'm going to look that up in the Kindle store too. Two samples.
You know, I'm really getting a lot of good books for my reading list on this. I should do this more often.
I know, right? Oh, yeah, there we go. I'm totally – yeah, I see it. Alistair Reynolds, $6.28. I'm totally trying a sample.
Well, thanks for tuning in to the Space Game Book Club. It's
we had at least one author on here.
Yeah,
you know, that was a pretty good show. We should maybe have some more at some point. Yeah, have you guys ever heard of the Lost Fleet series?
No.
Ah. Amazing military sci-fi.
But then I lost it.
Some of the best depictions of space combat I've seen in literature. Seriously, it's so good.
You see?
I'm curious. Go on.
Oh no, I was just wondering. He saw it in the literature.
What's the strategy game with the best writing in your opinion?
Oh, space strategy or strategy in general?
I don't know. Space strategy.
It has to be Homeworld because
if we're talking a linear game, and Homeworld, maybe Conquest Frontier Wars is pretty excellent.
Good.
We're only saying that because we owe Martin money.
No.
I mean, are you talking solely just in outer space stuff?
No. Well,
sci-fi theme.
We could start from there. We could start from there.
So I'd say, as far as a good strategy game, the original StarCraft was excellent, I thought.
Yeah. Okay, that had a good story. That's true.
Yeah. Had some good characters.
In terms of more 4X games that had good writing behind it, because, you know, you make your own story in those. Again, Emperor of the Fading Suns had excellent writing. Both Master of Orion games had really excellent writing.
Oh, yeah. They had excellent characters. I mean, like, each race was
there. Yeah, no, totally. Totally.
I love those lithobores, you know.
But, yeah, writing is, I guess it's not a... Oh, Hunter, Knack in the chat says StarCraft's story was terrible. And he emphasized...
StarCraft 2 had a terrible story.
He emphasizes terrible.
No, I'm talking about like the original. I mean, I'm not talking about this new stuff that's out right now. I honestly thought, because it's not just, you know, Brian and Jim and I have had these discussions on the show before. At least I think we have. I know behind closed doors we've had these discussions about games that have of old that have come not just with the game, but like other materials included in the game, such as manuals. So if you actually got like the old StarCraft game, the manual it came with had a excellent story that was written in it to go along with the game, like which was excellent.
Might have a box for that somewhere.
To like read along with the game.
No, like it was just like a whole bunch of backstory. So it's just like, how did these humans get to be where they are, and why are they out here? And it like explains. Like all of that,
That's awesome.
And I enjoyed it, but that's just me. I mean, because I thought it was kind of interesting, and the whole Confederacy and Minsk and like all the, you know, the stuff that went on with that, and how Minsk was essentially using the Zerg to, you know, take over control of the, you know, region of space that the humans were occupying at the time, and
yeah.
I don't know. I thought that was a pretty interesting story, but
yeah, it did. It had this sort of like diagram of intrigue. I remember that now. Sort of explaining everything.
We have a couple of more recommendations from the chat room. We've got Ground Control, which I do recall having a pretty good story, and I've never played Killzone, but apparently that had a good story.
I'm surprised that a game called Killzone had a good story. It's a pretty straightforward game.
Well, zone where you kill.
You kill zones. You slaughter zones. I don't know. I've never...
It describes the war between the zones and the humanity. Their ancient grudges.
Damn you, parking zones. Which day do I park? Which day can I park and not get a ticket? I've actually never played the Killzone games, but apparently they're pretty popular.
Yeah.
Jim, weren't you telling me about the Killzone games like a little while back?
Killzone. I'm trying to remember.
Weren't you telling me about, it was a PS3 game, I think you were telling me, and you got it for like $2. Okay, you said it was awesome.
It is. It is really good. And they're cheap. Like, you know, in the bargain bin cheap now. So, I have never played Killzone 1. 2 and 3 are great. And then they put a new one out with the PlayStation 4, and that people were kind of mixed on it. But 2 and 3, which you can get for the PS3, are pretty rad. I don't know if there's people playing multiplayer still. It probably still does have a following, because it was like the Halo of PlayStation for a while there.
Yes.
Did better apparently than Mag, the that's for sure.
Apparently the Vita version is going to be free on PlayStation Plus next month, so I'll have to check it out.
Well, if we're expanding to sci-fi games with a good story, then Mass Effect 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I feel like it's a lot easier to do good writing in an RPG or an adventure game.
Well, it's different. I mean, a nice part is you have full control over the experience, but it's also kind of fun to have those procedural... emergent stories. I don't know. I'm always a fan of those. So.
Yeah, I'm much more of a fan of randomly generated emergent stuff.
Yeah,
always much more a fan of that. Though, you know, I do like the linear stuff every now and again. Like, though I do like games where the story can change based on your choices. Like, have you guys played Alpha Protocol? Not a space game, but
no, I don't think so.
Oh god, that game can change several different ways depending on how you respond to people.
I like the
sequel. And there's dialogue for each of the ways.
Say again?
I said I like
there's the dialogue sequel. For each way that it can
go. Oh, there are three or four different types of dialogue choices you can make for just about every interaction. And it's basically, you know, professional, suave guy, or psycho. And the first game I played was more of the Jason Bourne, like purely professional guy. It was very satisfying, but I'm playing the second through game through pure psychopath, total asshole. And it's great because everyone hates him, yet he's still, yes, he's still at the best at what he does, so they have to deal with him. It's hilarious because you're like, they're like insulting him left and right and shit. It's great. Yeah, get that game cheap if you can. Because it's so fucking, yes, Cameron, the spy game, the spy RPG from Obsidian and Sega. It's excellent.
What's it called?
Alpha Protocol. Huh. Yeah, I think I got it for like $3 on sale one day, like years ago. And I loaded it up a while back, just at a lark, and I was shocked at how amazing it was.
Got wildly mixed reviews. I'm looking at the, like, Steam has 9 out of 10, but then GameStop has, like, 5.6 out of 10.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. The AI is kind of, can be stupid. Like, you can walk right up. You could shoot a guy standing right next to another guy, and the other guy will be like, whatever, he won't even notice. So the AI can be balls stupid, but it's still just, you know, so fun. You could, like, you could be like a close-up kind of brawler guy. You could be a sniper dude. You could take everyone out with a silent pistol. You know, it's a great little RPG spy thing. It's a
spy game where you can be a brawler who punches people,
or like take people out silently from behind.
Yeah, just punch yourself down. Like,
yeah, but if they see that, you got to punch them out.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great. But yeah, that kind of, I love that kind of story too, where it's even though it's kind of linear, you still have a lot of choice in how things end up, you know, a lot of variation.
Yeah, that's sort of what we were going for with the missions, actually, was that we can have a lot of like linear little clocks that we can put in, so we have a lot of control over those. We can make them kind of any cool, fun sci-fi plot that we've encountered, we can sort of find our way to tell that. But then because your choices sort of have these lasting impacts on how the world progresses, it fits together in a very sort of player-driven way.
Which I like. I like how the different results between sessions really create a unique universe every time you play, because it's not going to end up everywhere at the same time.
Exactly, yeah. So like each player will have their own sort of history to their universe. Yeah. We might do we've discussed different options for the multiplayer too, like maybe having you join someone else in their universe, or a universe that both players, like, that's created for both players, and then anytime you play with that person, it rejoins into that same universe.
Oh, I like that idea.
So there's sort of a lot of fun potential with the multiplayer there.
Yeah, and a couple of things we're working on are, like, terraforming and the ability to build Dyson spheres or ring worlds.
Dyson but also, spheres?
Yeah. But also to straight up destroy stars. So we're making one action to destroy a star system and another action to condense a star system out of a nebula.
What if it was a Dyson sphere and it actually vacuumed up the planets?
No, that's Mega Mate. That's
She's Mega gone Mate. From suck to blow.
Oh,
yes.
It's Unicron.
That's not Unicron. Jesus Christ.
I kind of want to have a ship that's so big that it steals planets, but Chris is into hard sci-fi, and he won't let me put that in the game.
What?
So, yeah, dude, you could totally. You could, like, hijack a planet and then, like, drive around and, like...
Yeah. And, like, spin it out elsewhere.
Like, running into other planets and stuff. It'd be like GTA, but with planets.
Yeah, or, like, just take a whole bunch of planets and put them in your system.
Did you guys ever see Invader Zim?
Yeah, they steal planet that one, right?
There's an episode where they steal planet. There's, like, a race that steals planets to feed them into their sun. It's pretty excellent.
Oh, I'd love it if you could take a planet and then knock it into another planet, like billiard balls, and then destroy the other planet.
Oh yeah,
we definitely want to have planet and star destruction. Like, oh, yeah. One thing we've discussed at length is we really want to have like jump gates. The idea is that you'd have to build them though over probably a black hole. Right. And so we want an action to collapse a system into a black hole, and then another action to convert that into a jump gate. And the way those could work is you could like fly your ship to them, and then we can zoom way out and make the senso bubble really, really big. And you can click anywhere there, and your ship will just warp out to that location as one move. So
Destroying planets is actually really important, because as you know, you can't build a Dyson sphere until all of the planets have been converted to scrap that you use to construct the Dyson sphere.
Yeah. And we've definitely reducing them to rubble and then shaping them into your will is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, no, I'm not joking. That's important.
Yeah, no, we've discussed that. That's the plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tune in next week for episode 2 of the plan.
No, I would love it if you made if you just had some kind of planet hockey going, like planet kickball, where you had like a big mega unicorn guy just kick the planet into the other planet.
What about planet dodgeball? You could just grab planets and fling them at each other.
That'd
and
be
like
great.
Screaming people would come off it like a comet tail. Oh yes.
Well, there's the solar system simulator, or the galactic simulator, simulator.
Or universe sim.
Universe sim. No, not that one.
No, not that one. Okay.
Space simulator, where you can crash planets into each other.
Huh.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Universal sandbox?
Yeah, universal sandbox, exactly. Do that. Just crash planets into each other in that game.
Oh, yeah. Knack suggests planet billiards. What about... Oh, my God. That's an awesome idea. Okay. What about a pool game, but the balls are actually planets, but they have gravity. So if you even knock a ball near other ones, they'll pull them in. Maybe you can get balls to orbit each other. Something
that'd be cool.
Balls. Well, I don't know. It's
some cool trick shots that way.
Yeah. Well, in the course of making this game, we've wondered, what if we just took other classic games, but made them in 3D? So what do you think about 3D billiards?
Ooh, I kind of love it.
Yeah, it would take place in sort of a box. Obviously, in real life, it'd be difficult to set up, not least because it'd be difficult to stick your pull cue through the box that they were in. But I think in a video game form, it could really work.
I feel like they should set up a room.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it would be a room where you turn the gravity off, and then it's like, this is your play area where you could...
Yeah.
The enemy's gate is open, and... No, that's a different.
I don't know why we never saw them playing 3D billiards on Star Trek.
I know. They had 3D chess, apparently. Why not 3D billiards?
Yeah. By the way, did you get my joke there? It was very subtle.
Yes,
yeah.
Ender's Game.
Yeah, Ender's Game joke. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure that didn't get by.
Is that from the movie?
That's from the book.
It's from the book.
Yeah. God, I haven't read the book in so long.
Did they make a game based on the movie, in the book?
No.
A game where you play in battle school?
Yeah, the movie made it look so much better.
Yeah, but it's like an obvious tie with the movie.
Just
stick with the book. But.
That sounds like a great idea, but they've never done it.
About a game where you had like famous people and we could call it Planet Hollywood? No, I think that's already taken. I don't know.
So
these resources at the top, I mentioned them earlier. What exactly are their function? You got VPs here, which I'm guessing are some kind of victory points, I guess.
So victory points are, so the short answer is at the moment, they don't really have a point.
Okay.
Right now, all the buildings are free because the resources system is broken.
Is buying upgrades, buying buildings. You'll be able to spend them on both new colonies and on upgrades for your ships.
Nice. And what do these exotic matter and mineral and commerce and land? Do they give you more victory points bonuses, or is that like a measure of overall victory toward the next round, or what is?
Those are resources that you spend on buildings or equipping your ships.
Yeah, so those are the resources you'll spend, and then the victory points are just how we actually gauge who wins each match. So, you'll get little indicators. So, we haven't exactly worked out the scoring. We figure that's something we can definitely tune, sort of once we start testing with a larger audience.
Right.
But the plan is either, having the most colonies might give you some victory point bonus, or killing off another faction might, you know, give you a victory point bonus, or for certain technological milestones as well. So we'll give you some direction as you're going of, you know, oh, this is something, this is a way to amass influence and, you know, gain points. So that's definitely the direction we're headed in.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, so will you need, like, specific resources to build stuff? Like, if you don't have this whatever mineral is, you can't build a certain gun for your ship. And if you don't have enough land, you can't build a city or something like that.
Is that's... or you won't be able to build a city on a specific type of planet.
Exactly.
Land is probably a bad resource. We're still settling on the exact set of resources.
Yeah. Well, of course. Of course, that makes sense.
We've considered putting, like, way, way back. So during an iteration of this game, when it was 2D and had, like, noise-generated maps and pathfinding, if you can believe it, we had, like, discussed putting unobtainium in. But make sure that in order to mine unobtainium, you needed unobtainium tools, and you couldn't get those unless you already had unobtainium.
So the idea is there would be some planets would have unobtainium mines on them, and the joke would be that you could just never build an unobtainium mine.
So how many iterations has this gone through so far?
So during that 9 months, it's always been one program. We've never really scrapped it. So there's a lot of functionality that probably will cut out at some point because it's not being used. I would say it's probably been totally redone like 4 or 5 times at least.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is this the version you're really happy with? This is the version.
Yeah, it is the
design. Yeah. I'd say, back September of last year is when we really finalized the design, and sort of all the pieces that we'd wanted to incorporate, we thought of a way for them to fit together that was kind of elegant, and that, you know, at least in our heads and on the board seems like it'll really shape up to an awesome experience. And so now it's just the arduous task of taking it out of our brains and plopping it into reality.
Okay, that makes sense. Excuse me, I was just blowing my nose. So what engine is this running on? Which engine is this running on?
That's using Unity.
Yep.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Yeah. And are you guys already on Unity 5 or 6
yes,
or whatever?
Yeah, we're on the latest version. Nice. We've got the physically based rendering and all that, just not enough of the not enough resources yet to show it off, but
so that kind of tweaks my next question, because whenever I ask about moddability, people say with Unity, it's not the easiest thing in the world. Is that your experience as well?
Yeah. So the way that it currently works is right now, a lot of our files are being read using Unity's system, which means that they can't be edited. But we actually have a lot of things driven from like text file.
Yeah.
So that's something that we could expose with just a couple changes to our IO calls in our code base.
So almost everything in the game, from which items are available, which resources there are, even things like how many planets there are per system or how fast they move, are driven by like text files or spreadsheets. And so that's not really like first class mod, but it'll allow people to set up a lot of different things.
Yeah. And we'll still have to be the ones to put the abilities in. Unfortunately, we wanted to sort of focus on getting a first game out there that had everything we wanted in it. And although we'd love to have crazy modding support, I think the most we'll have in this one is probably just, maybe adding your own missions or changing some dialogue.
Adding your own little icons at the bottom.
Yeah, you could definitely do that. You could change item. You could actually change the actions, change their descriptions and text and what they do. All of that could be edited with text right now. So,
I think something happened to the game. I didn't even notice, but I lost a ship.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I don't know how that happened.
During the enemy turn, the enemy ships are actually quite bloodthirsty. They just track down your ships and shoot them. You'll notice that this ship has lost some health. You've been playing this game for a lot longer than most of our playtesters, to be honest.
Yeah. But so far we've, you know, in the state it is, we've mostly just brought it around to sort of show off the direction we're headed in at local meetups, because that's, you know, it's free. It's a nice chance to start building up that fan base. Like, what we're looking for at this point is just, if it sounds interesting to you, sign up on our email list so that we can let you know when we've got a beta out, and when, you know, at some point in the future when it's much further along, we may end up looking for like Kickstarter to add more of the content we want.
I was going to ask you if you guys are considering crowdfunding.
Yeah, so far we're all self-funded, but the plan is that there's so many things we want to add, right? Like Ring Worlds and Dyson Spheres and Jump Gates, and the more, you know, what we really need is more art budget, because let's face it, we're both programmers. So those are all the things where we'd start to really look for crowdfunding to build out the expanse of the experience we can give.
You might want to restart the game again. I think there's a glitch that's preventing attacking from working.
No, it's working because the enemy ships are being destroyed. There's just no animation, which is it's hilarious.
I know what's going on. I think the particle emitter is being deleted.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Now right now I'm just like going out as far as I can go, because you said this thing was endless, so that's what I'm doing.
You can go as far as you want and look back and sort of see a trail of stars.
Really?
Yeah.
Little breadcrumbs in the direction I have come from.
Yeah,
it might be hard to see on the stream, but I can totally see that. Yeah, there is kind of a static portion of the stars that you can see when you move around. That's like, oh, I did come from that direction, didn't I?
Yeah. So the idea is, once you've been playing in the same universe for a while, all of those will have history, and will sort of like each of those planets, you know, stores a log of things that have happened to them, and you know, who's owned them over time, and we sort of use sort of a level of detail system to simulate things.
Basically, a lot of things don't, like a lot of the data simulation doesn't really take that much out of the computer. They're crazy fast these days, so you can run, you know, millions of you know, simulation steps in split up over a few seconds and have no noticeable slowdown. So the plan is to really just let the world grow and let people play around with that as much as they want.
Yeah.
What you will notice right now, though, is probably the sprites that are rendering right now are using a pretty slow... it's not using the particle system. So that's one change that we're planning on making, which should make it much more robust. So, you know, we've tested that with 50,000 particles, but you'll probably notice slowdowns if you keep going in one direction long enough right now.
It is getting a little chunky.
Yeah. That's just because the way it's representing the distant stars isn't using that particle engine.
It's definitely slowing down. Okay, I'll start again.
Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. Again, early access, people.
Yeah, so like early pre-alpha. Not even all the features are in yet.
But it's got
a direction. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's kind of why we love doing this show, is we get to see how the sausage is made.
Yeah.
Speaking for myself, I love it. Come on, game.
Is that related to that picture that you tweeted me? No. Okay.
What?
Nothing.
What, Jim? What?
What?
I don't know what you're saying.
What?
What?
Huh?
What?
What?
Get it. There we go. It works again.
Awesome.
Those are nice explosions. I do dig those.
You sound a lot like the characters in Oddworld there.
It's Hunter's does a great version of Darth Vader when his wingmen get shot off in the Death Star trench. I need to make like a ringtone of that for whenever I get an SMS on my phone.
What?
Just be like, what?
That would be Hunter's specific tone.
Oh, man.
So are you guys going to release a demo to the general public, either with the Kickstarter or just with the...
Yes, we are. So when we first talked to you, we said we were going to be doing a Kickstarter right now. We're not. But hopefully in a couple months or a few months, you know, the idea is we're going to release a demo. And the idea for the demo is we're just going to make a game where your mission is to blow up a bunch of stars. Well, and that's going to be sort of the demo because
I think we can give spoilers for the demo. I mean, that's okay, right? Do you guys mind spoilers for the demo?
No.
It's going to be great.
Yeah.
So the demo, you're going to actually lead a science vessel to a research facility.
And these are Space Game Junkie exclusive spoilers.
Yeah, Space Game Junkie exclusive. So you lead it to a research facility located outside a black hole. And it's a really bleak, depressing universe that we start you in. The whole universe is dying from heat death. And, like, everything's boring and kind of crappy. And things are winding down. Stars are winking out. And... you're leading this here, you're just a mercenary getting paid to, you know, do a job. But it turns out that what you're actually doing is you're delivering a device to some scientists who are trying to recreate the Big Bang to reset the universe.
Oh.
So we're totally going to jump the shark, and the first tutorial will be you blowing up the entire universe to create a new one. and then that's totally the lead-in for the ability to say in the same universe, or from the menu, you'll be able to sort of access that that Big Bang mechanic to spawn a new universe to play in case players, you know, want to start fresh.
Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. And this allows us to wave our hands about faster than light travel and say, in this newly created universe, the numbers work out a little bit differently and you can just travel faster.
Yeah, the laws of physics are a little different here.
Yeah, yeah. They tweak them, you know?
Yeah.
You altered everything when you blew things up. That's what happens.
Yeah, you can do that when you're restarting the universe.
Yeah.
So we're going to release that around the same time we do a Kickstarter. Hopefully sometime this summer.
Our plan is, we're really hoping to have a fast development cycle with this. So we're actually wrapping up, believe it or not, the core features. Probably will be all in within the next month, it seems like. Uh-huh. And then the rest is there's a lot to do with polish and a lot to do with building out that content. So we're really hoping to have that that initial tutorial level done by the end of the summer, sort of just in time for a couple shows like Boston Festival of Indie Games, where we'd like to show off some of what we've got by that point.
Oh, nice. I don't know if you saw in the chat, Cameron asked, how are random factions generated?
So right now, the Andrew is a system where it loads, it's somewhat based on file. I think it picks like a theme and a name and then picks a group of characters to show. But in the actual sort of finished product, we're going to be building upon, we sort of term it like a deep simulation engine. And the idea is that it's sort of all just processing data in the back end to simulate cool events like disease outbreaks, or I say not cool for the people involved, I guess, but disease outbreaks or like insurrections or, release of AIs, like all of those things will have some foundation in a deeper simulation level. And so the factions similarly will be generated that way. It'll be from an internal political simulation or from events that are created by the player during play.
Basically, each time the game ends, each of the current factions is sent into decline. And one of the ways that they can decline is to spawn another faction. So, for example, if you research the technology to create a slave race like the Jem'Hadar, then in the next playthrough, they can rise up and fight again, and you can play them fighting against their previous masters, who were the faction that you previously played.
Oh. Yeah.
And that's one way of generating new factions. We'll also probably just spawn some new factions randomly to simulate, you know, new civilizations just coming and popping up.
Sort of like Dwarf Fortress, Cameron asks.
Yeah, actually. So we are definitely Dwarf Fortress was on our radar even when we discussed this. Our sort of we're definitely focused on making one ambitious project at a time. One of the things we discussed really early on is what we think would be really interesting is to use a 4X game like this as sort of a engine for simulating a more interactive world for other types of games like a base management game or an RPG. So even though it's totally unnecessary to this particular game, what we've done is we've separated all of the game logic and simulation from the way that it's displayed to the player. And the plan is that at some future point, we can copy all of that game logic over or copy it with some modifications and use that.
Oh, wow. That's pretty nice.
Sorry.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
So if you check the Skype, I linked a video there since uh-huh. since we're kind of wrapping here, that I want to go out with this. It's for Hunter.
All right.
It's the greatest thing.
This looks pretty hilarious.
But we have to share this with everybody. Just put it up there. No, I mean like put it in the stream. Like you have two monitors today, right?
I don't know.
Hang on, I can try.
What?
Hang on, I can try. I can try this. Hang on a second. I'm not sure if this will work. Hang on a second. I wonder
what
if this will work.
What?
No,
wrong monitor.
What?
It's not capturing the right monitor.
What the hell is going on up in here? Hmm? I don't know what it is. It's capturing the right quality.
Oh, looks like it's changing.
I can't do it.
I can't do it.
I can't do it for some reason.
Damn it!
Oh no.
What?
It doesn't like doing that when. it doesn't like doing that when.
It's so bad because I want to make this part of the show. It just,
yeah, the Princess Leia bit. She's like, what? What?
Oh, God. I can't even.
What?
Oh, wait, there it is. Hang on, I got it. Hang on, let's do this.
All right.
Oh, crap. Why is it doing
ads? Commercial.
Oh, I'm done with this.
Oh, that's perhaps the greatest thing that I've ever contributed to the show.
This is amazing.
What?
Oh, my God. Anyway, we should wrap this up because we're just giggling. So,
what the fuck? Oh, God. Oh, God. Okay. Oh, you broke me. You fucking broke me.
What?
Shut up. I can't take it. Sorry, guys. I can usually keep it together better.
All right.
Guys, I'm not gonna lie.
Damn it! Why did I watch that? Oh God, it broke me. Oh God, guys, I'm sorry. I'm usually trying to be more professional than this.
That's what post processing is for, right?
I can't stop. Okay.
I can't stop.
Shut up, Hunter. Shut up. Damn you.
Tune in next week when we'll have 3 hours of sandstorm. It'll be.
Oh, gentlemen. Okay. Oh, okay. I'm. Okay. All right. Gentlemen, Chris, Andrew. I want to, because it's late where you guys are. I want to thank you for taking the time to stop by and talk to us about your really nifty strategy game concept. And I really like where this is going. I like the idea of these short sessions that end up being a larger meta game that you can play on a coffee break or with a friend over a few turns.
It's so unique. We're excited to see how it turns out too.
No, I mean, you got to do something different with strategy, with 4X yes. and strategy games these days. And I'm really glad that people like you and some others are trying new things so we don't just get another Master of Orion clone.
Hey, we love Master of Orion too, as much as the sure. next base game fan, sure. but we didn't want to make another clone of that. So.
Exactly. Because there have been a bunch of them out lately, and not all of them have been good. So,
so we're taking some risks, making a weird game.
Yeah, so I don't think there are many fully 3D infinite universe persistent map 1 hour 4X games out there at the moment. So
apparently, I like that should be like on your if they still had boxes, that should be on the box right there. They still had boxes. So guys, thank you so much for joining me. Or us, not me. Well, no, it's just not me. Next week, folks, just a quick note. We're doing a morning podcast, 7 o'clock in the morning Pacific time.
Oh,
we are going to have a couple of the guys from Gearbox on to talk about Homeworld Remastered. So that
never
should
heard
be
of
fascinating.
It.
Yeah, I know. It's
what? So, what is that?
Obscure
what?
Game.
What?
Fuck you. Son of a bitch.
So, morning show next week, Gearbox, Homeworld Remastered, good stuff.
Yeah.
English and what?
Stop it.
Let's say what again. I dare you. I got
say what again, motherfucker. Say it one more fucking time.
What?
Thank you so much for joining us, Hunter, Jim. Thank you. Holy shit, I've got to watch that whole video.
So, I won't be on for the next 3 weeks.
That's right. You're getting married.
I am getting married.
That is the wedding. Congrats, dude.
Yeah.
Two morning shows. You guys are doing 20. Thank you. Thank you very much. Be here for no more than 3 weeks. Two morning shows in a row is what we're doing. And I unfortunately can't do morning shows because of my job. But
sorry, man. Can't
no. It's cool. So and then my honeymoon is the third week that I will be not available.
Where are you going for your honeymoon?
I ain't telling.
Do you ever notice that's the answer nobody gives? I'm going to Cleveland.
We're going to you know, Canada, because Canada is for lovers.
What's that smell?
Cleveland. Oh, Canada! I hear it's not so bad.
Canada's pretty awesome.
We're going up north.
Wait, what was that, guys?
Poutine and Tim Hortons. That's what you got to do while you're in Canada.
Yeah.
I've heard Tim Hortons is amazing.
Yeah. And
it sounds like a sporting goods store, but I think it's like cheeseburgers there, right?
No, apparently it's a combination of In-N-Out and Dunkin' Donuts that is apparently like amazing.
Yeah, but they sell poutine.
No, we're actually going up to Chicago and hitting at museums and all that kind of stuff up in that area. Cool. So I will not be here for 3 weeks, but I'm looking forward to coming back.
Well, yeah, we wish you all the best. We hope your wedding goes wonderfully, as I'm sure it will, and that your honeymoon is great and safe. And we will see you back in 3 weeks, Hunter. But Jim and I will be slogging through without you, sadly. Doing our best to keep things young and hip without you, because you know we're old and crotchety.
What?
I don't think I have any left in me. I think I'm done. I can't even laugh at that.
He's dehydrated from all the tears.
I think I am.
It's some Gatorade, man. You'll be fine.
it's a Waterade. Anyway, guys, we'll
you go
see
to Whataburger. Do you guys have that out there?
No, we don't have Whataburger out here.
What?
What?
Oh, sorry.
What?
Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. I can't wait. I can't wait to see how your game progresses over the next however long until release. Yeah. We can have you back once it's closer to release.
Well, if I can find it, you can check it out on voidborn.com.
I'll definitely be linking to that in the show notes. Not a problem.
Yeah, we'll be posting videos as it develops.
And we'll definitely get you back when we're a little bit further along with the development and show you how things are shaped up.
I can't wait to see it. Thank you, everyone, the stream, for watching. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.